Good afternoon, Echo Church. Welcome. Thank you for joining us online. My name is Pastor TJ, one of the pastors here. I'm so grateful we have, I'm in front of a live audience of three people. I was thinking of doing an altar call today, but I think the staff is saved. But maybe I need to do one for Kathleen. I'm not sure. Wow. Right? Well, we are continuing our Daniel series today, and if you haven't noticed by my shirt, the title of the sermon is The Fire. The Fire. It's going to be a hot sermon today. Make sure to put fire emojis in the chat. And we'll be studying one of the most famous passages, famous stories in all of the Bible, really, really, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's a long three names right there. I'm going to just call them SMA, SMA, for the rest of my sermon. SMA, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego equals SMA. Before we start, have you guys ever found yourself in a situation, like a make or break situation, a major crossroads in your life? You're asking God, like, God, if you don't answer this prayer request, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if my faith can withstand this fire. Maybe you've had moments in your life where you want to quit the faith, you want to give up. The pressures of life become too much. And you ask yourself, what's the point? What's the point of doing all this? I just want to give up. You know, oftentimes we may face a fire or a difficult circumstance in our life, and it really tests our faith. And sometimes we make it and sometimes we don't. And today I want to share with you the story of SMA, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, about one of those moments where they were really tested by the fire. So let me give you some background. King Nebuchadnezzar, he creates this statue, a golden statue, and then he creates another statue, a law statue, that everyone must bow down to this statue, right? What did one statue say to the other statue? Is that you? Whoever doesn't bow down to this statue must be thrown into the blazing furnace, right? That's the new statue. And so there's a group of people, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who do not bow down to this idol because it goes against the commands of God, right? But there's another group of people that are very jealous of Daniel and SMA, and they tattletale, they rat them out to King Nebuchadnezzar. And this is where we pick up in Daniel chapter 13, chapter 3, verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Right? This is a very threatening situation. Verse 16. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated seven times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up SMA and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men wearing these robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to God, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their own lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their house be turned into a pile of rubble, for no god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So what a crazy story, right? Talk about a major crossroad in your life. Renounce God or die. Be thrown into the fire. It's pretty straightforward. This Nebuchadnezzar king, pretty violent, right? These three men, they've done nothing wrong to deserve this. They are very good government employees. I know all about that. They're thrown into the fire because they won't worship this golden image. And then out of nowhere, they're faced with this test. But not only do they come out of this fire and survive, they actually end up convincing King Nebuchadnezzar once again that the God of the Israelites is the one true king. So how were Sma able to respond like this in the face of adversity? You know, in the face of the fire. And what can we learn from Sma when we face the own fires of our lives? They remember three things: the sovereignty of God, the sacrifice of God, and the shalom, or peace of God. First, let me speak about the sovereignty of God. You know, what does sovereignty of God mean? It means that God is powerful and he is in total control of all things, that he has a plan for all things. You know, this is a very important concept to understand. We know it in our heads, like God is in control, but sometimes we don't know it in our hearts when we are facing our own fires. And Sma understood the sovereignty of God. And let me show you in verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." The key phrase here is "even if," right? They believe that God will rescue them, but they are also confident in God because they acknowledge that it may not happen. They may not get rescued. There's a confidence in them, in God, but there's also a humility about them, that they know that God is sovereign, that God has a plan for all this, that God is in control, right? And there's a confidence, not necessarily in a solution, but there's a confidence in God, and there's a confidence in the sovereignty of God. And because their confidence is in God and not their own agenda, they're able to withstand this situation. There's a full trust in the Lord. Even if God doesn't rescue us, we will still continue to serve him, not you, Nebuchadnezzar. And we will not defy you, not because we think we're going to live, because we want to trust in the Lord. We want to glorify God. That is our ultimate purpose, right? So can we say "even if" in our prayers? That's a hard word to say. Because if you're like me, you're probably like, "God, save me from this situation. You have to answer my prayers. Everything depends on it." That's sometimes how I pray, right? Because when you're facing the fires, you want escape from the fires. But Sma understood the sovereignty of God, that God could answer your prayer, and God could not answer your prayer immediately. They just trusted God no matter what, even if 100% they trusted God. deliverance or death, they still trusted the Lord and the sovereignty of God. And because they were able to focus on the Lord, it made them absolutely fearless in this situation. Nothing could faze them, right? No anxiety about them at all. But then you might be thinking, you know, if God is good and God is sovereign, he's in control of all things, why does he allow these fires, these difficult circumstances to happen in our lives? You know, and we will all face fires in our life. You know, human life is very fragile. We live in a broken world, and every single one of us will face a fire at one point in our lives, right? There's lots of fires in our lives. The loss of a loved one, family or friends, the loss of a dream, that's especially difficult to withstand. Illness, betrayal, financial trouble, moral failures, you know, on and on. We will all face one of these sooner or later in our lives. The great theologian C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. You know, I know whatever fire you're going through, it's hard to make sense of it. But the truth is, the fire can actually draw us closer to God and into a deeper relationship with God. Because we know God's truth in here oftentimes, but we have a hard time knowing God's truth in here. And sometimes it takes a fire for us to know God's truth in our hearts. And in that sense, suffering or a fire could be seen as God's grace, as God's gift to us. And that's why we have to fully trust in the sovereignty of God. God knows what he's doing. We just have to trust in him. You know, the Bible is filled with so many stories of full trust, even in the difficult circumstances, right? You have Joseph and Moses and the Israelites, Job, and even Jesus, and in all those situations, all the fires they faced, they still trusted God. And they still said, Lord, we believe in the sovereignty of God. We believe you have a plan for all this. You know, in Matthew, Jesus says we are guaranteed to face storms. Not a matter of if you will face storms, but a matter of when you will face storms. And it's because we live in a broken world and it is our inheritance as broken people. The fires are going to come in our lives. Are we able to trust God in those fires? And you know, we're not, you know, oftentimes people like to, when the fires come, they blame themselves, right? Did I do something wrong? Am I being punished by God for doing something? And we try to make sense of our tragedy. You know, sometimes you'll say, maybe it's karma, right? I did something to deserve this. And then no, that's not the way it is. The fires come because we live in a broken world. We are broken mankind, humankind, and we will all face fires. And if you think that you are facing these fires because you did something, you're just trying to make sense of it all. And you're trying to have a sense of control over your lives. And our journey of life, God doesn't exactly tell us how it's going to go. And God can't offer explanations for all the fires you face. And God may not have an answer for it right now, but God has an answer for it at the end. God promises us deliverance from all this when Jesus returns. He'll create a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more tears, no more pain. So we actually do know God's plan. And God is sovereign over the situation. Sma said, even if you don't deliver us now, we know God will deliver us ultimately because Jesus will win the battle at the end. 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18 says it like this. Paul says it like this. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Remember, Jesus is sovereign. Jesus' love will win out. We have to trust in the sovereignty of God. Number two, the sacrifice of God. Now, the second point we have to remember is the sacrifice of God, because when we are going through our fires, we often think that our suffering is unfair, right? What did I do to deserve this? Why me, God? I'm a faithful person. And those other sinners over there, you know, they are living blessed lives while here I'm so faithful and I'm living this very difficult life. And I'm drowning in my sorrow. You know, many of us have been in those type of situations, right? And Small is no different here, right? They didn't do anything wrong. They are great government employees and they are unjustly accused because of other people's jealousy. But look at their response in verse 28. Daniel 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their house be turned into a pile of rubble, for no god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You want to talk about unfair? The king was willing to kill Sma for refusing to bow down to a statue, and that is totally unfair. It's totally unjust. And can you imagine what they're going through as they're being carried into the fire? "Lord, this is not fair. What did I do to deserve this? I haven't done anything to deserve this fire. Why, where are you, God, in all of this?" Yet through it all, they were still willing to give up their lives. That's what it says at the end of verse 28. They were willing to sacrifice their lives for God's glory. You know, who does this remind you of? It is the answer for every Sunday Bible study question, okay? Right? Jesus? Yes. Yes, Jesus. It reminds us of Jesus. The one person who didn't deserve to die. The one person in all of humankind that did nothing wrong but was killed. It was Jesus. But even Jesus expresses his grief over the situation on the cross. Like, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Even he can feel the injustice of his death. Yet he still obeys the Father and sacrifices himself when he didn't deserve to die. Because while he couldn't fully understand why he had to die, he had a committed trust in the Lord. And that's what we have to remind ourselves when we face the fires of our lives. We remind ourselves of Jesus' sacrifice. We remind ourselves of Jesus' courage and patience. Because Jesus understands what you are going through because he went through it. Yes, it's not fair. And Jesus fully understands that because he had to suffer injustice as well. And that's why God can empathize with us in our anguish. God is with us in our anguish. And then as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, we can also remember the resurrection of Jesus. Because the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that is the same spirit that is in you. So whatever fire you're going through, you have the Holy Spirit that can help you resurrect out of that situation. You can do it. You can come out of this fire alive, redeemed, and whole because the Spirit lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So you just have to remind yourself of the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus' sacrifice shows us that there is a purpose in our fires. There's a purpose in our suffering, and God can use it for his glory. If you can understand that, then we can start trusting God without understanding everything. We can learn to sacrifice ourselves without understanding everything. Because if you only trust when things make sense, that's not obedience, that's just agreement, right? Obedience is, I don't understand the situation I'm going through, God. It feels unjust, it feels unfair, but I remember the sacrifice of Jesus and I'll fully trust you through this fire, God. Amen. Yes, we will continue to suffer from the fire, but we can suffer with hope. And if we can suffer with hope and be a living sacrifice, just like Jesus calls us to be, we can show the world, we can show the glory and the greatness of our God, just like Smaa did. Their willingness to be sacrificed for God's glory ultimately led to their promotion and also the king's conversion, and also it transformed an entire nation just because of three men who are willing to be sacrificed. It's amazing what a full trust in the Lord can do. Philippians chapter 2, 6-11 says, "Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus should that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." And this Philippians verse sounds very similar to Smaa's story, right? Smaa was willing to sacrifice themselves, so Nebuchadnezzar made a law that everyone bowed down to the God of the Israelites, and Jesus was willing to sacrifice himself so that every tongue, every nation can worship God. We have to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. We have to remember there's the power of redemption through the Holy Spirit that is working in you right now. Just have to continue focus on Jesus. Jesus paved the way for us, and he sets the example for us to follow. So always remember the sacrifice of Jesus in your fires. And finally, the shalom, the peace of God. You know, it's important to understand God's sovereignty, like God is in control, and it's important to understand the sacrifice of Jesus. But sometimes when you're going through the fire, all of these truths of God, while they are truths, they don't always touch our hearts, right? Like if someone says, you're going through a fire and someone says, God is in control, or they say, God will redeem this situation, and those are all true statements, they don't necessarily console a suffering heart, right? They don't console a suffering soul. And so in those circumstances, what we need is not more knowledge, but what we need is care. And what we need to know is that God cares about us. What we need to know is that God is walking with us. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. He, Nebuchadnezzar, said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." So Smaa knew that the fire couldn't destroy them because they were walking with someone. Who are they walking with, right? Jesus? Yes, Jesus. Who is this fourth person? Right? And notice that this person doesn't come out with the other three. They're in the fire, but he doesn't come out. It is God in the flesh. It is Jesus Christ. God is walking with them. And then when God is walking with us, when God is walking with them, the fire cannot touch them. Amen? The great poet MC Hammer once said, "Can't touch this. The fire can't touch them." The fire. How do you walk with God in the fire? First of all, the fire is something that you have to walk through. You know, usually we treat fires as like, it's like bad weather. Like, oh, I'm just going to endure this until this fire passes. I would just check my phone for hours, YouTube Vortex. Until this fire passes, right? Numb myself from the stress of life, right? Alcohol or gambling or entertainment, whatever. But what does God say we must do? Isaiah 43, 1-2 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I am with you." The Christian faith calls us to walk through the fire, not be scared of the fire, not walk away from the fire, to walk through the fire. We can't pretend like it doesn't exist. We can't just avoid it. We are to meet it, and we are to move through it with fear, without fear, with faith, because Jesus is walking through it with us. The promise is that promise is not that Jesus will remove the fire experience from us. The promise is that God is with us, walking beside us. Jesus is not concerned about the storm around us, the fire around us. He's concerned about the storm in your heart. He's not concerned about the heat of the fire around you. He's concerned about the fire that's burning in you. He's willing to walk with us, but the real question is, are we willing to walk with him through the fire? Especially when our life falls apart from all the fires of life, will you walk with him? So what does that mean to walk with God in the fire? Right? Well, first, you have to learn how to walk, okay? Right? We're going to learn how to walk. Walking is a rhythm, right? There's a rhythm to walking. If you have little kids, they learn how to walk. You take a small step. It's practice, right? And then you get better and better at it. Then you could walk a little bit faster. Then you could do stuff like this, mess up the camera, right? Walking takes practice. Because how are you going to walk in the fire if you can't just walk on regular land first, right? It's about practicing your faith, getting ready for the fire that is to come one day. Remember, that fire is a guarantee. Walking with God means you're praying, you're worshiping, you're participating in the church. Walking is a rhythm. Walking with God is a rhythm, an everyday practice. It's a rhythm in your life. And you have to go slow and steady sometimes. But that's what walking is, right? One step at a time, one small step at a time. So you have to remember the gospel, right? That's walking with the Lord. This remembering the sovereignty of God, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. That's all part of walking with God. And then you get really good at walking without any fires. And then the fire comes, but you're just going back to the fundamentals, right? I'm just walking. Because you already know how to walk because it's been ingrained in you. And you remind yourself of the gospel, even during the fire. Jesus is Lord. Remember the sovereignty of God. Remember the sacrifice of God. And then you remember Jesus' furnace too, right? And you can begin to sense God in your smaller furnaces. Oh, Jesus understands what I'm going through. He walked through this as well. I can walk through this with him as well. And then when you can walk with God through the fire, you'll be able to find shalom. A peace, a supernatural peace inspired by the Holy Spirit that transcends all human logic. Philippians 4, 6, 7 says, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Don't you want this peace in your fire? When you walk with God through the fire, we can face all things with peace. It doesn't mean that you won't weep. It doesn't mean that you won't be angry, because this peace doesn't mean there's an absence of the fire. Rather than an absence, it's the presence of the Father. And we can face the fire knowing that we have the power and we have God with us to persevere through the fire. fire. So in that sense, no matter what happens to us, even if it's the hottest of hottest fires, hotter than this shirt, right? Even if it's that hot, we know we can come out of it with peace. And this is how we are called to respond in the face of fires. This is how we show the world the glory of God. Psalms 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Even in the darkest valley, God is with us. So are you ready to face the fires in your life? You know, during the Holy Cow series, Leslie McDougall shared about the American dream and the pursuit of happiness, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think what's happened is we've mixed the American dream and the Christian faith into something that we want to believe. And the belief is that we should all be happy. God wants us to be happy. And so when the fires come and the suffering comes, we're like, this is horrible. And we've become so allergic to suffering. Like we, American Christians, we despise suffering. And we all think that everyone should be living blessed and happy lives all the time, right? Until we pass. And even as I read Echo's mission statement, right? The life that God intended us to live. When you hear that, don't you think that's a blessed, happy, merry life that God intends for me? A very positive life. Did you ever think maybe God intends fire in my life? And then when we don't get that happy, merry life, we really struggle with our faith because this is not what we are expecting. And then we try so hard to eliminate suffering, to eliminate the fires in our life. We try to fix it with money, new ways of living, new ways of thinking. And let me tell you something, this is an impossible task. The fires are going to come in our lives sooner or later. But like I said, the fires in our lives, the suffering that we will face, it is a gift from the Lord. Because it breaks these unrealistic expectations about life and how we control our lives, how much we control our lives. Suffering frees us from those expectations. And then the fire, it purifies us. Our motives and our love for God, it becomes more genuine because we know that we can love God through the thick and thin. And our faith is real. And then when you do suffer through the fires and experience the grace of God, knowing that God is walking with you, it also empowers us to offer that grace to others who are going through the fire as well. You can walk with others that are walking through their fire. If you can walk with God through your own fires. So the fires in our lives can actually propel you into the life that God intended you to live. And I know many of you guys are going through many fires, especially during this pandemic. There's so much fire going on all over the world, you know, politics and violence, sickness, illness. You know, isolation, anxiety, everyone is going through so much right now. And I know, and even myself as a pastor, all the leaders, we're all going through our own personal fires. And I've had many fires in my own life as well. And let me tell you some about the fires that I'm going through right now. You know, when I was younger, I remember, you know, being bankrupt. As a family, I remember being homeless as an 18-year-old. And even right now, you know, I have two kids with special needs. That's a fire. And it's tough and it's hard. Every day is a new challenge. it's a loss of a dream, right? You dream of teaching your kids how to shoot baskets and throw baseballs, but instead you're just trying to teach them how to hold a pencil. It's a whole different kind of loss, a loss of a dream. And it's poof, it's all gone because of the fire. But let me tell you something. I don't know if I can be here on this wooden crate pulpit. And I don't know if I'd be able to preach this message if it wasn't for my boys. Because before all this, before this fire that I'm facing right now, I never knew what grief was. And I never understood what loss was. And I didn't know what suffering was. And because I have walked it and I'm still walking it with God, I can also walk with you through your fire and show you that God is with you. The fire has made me into a pastor. And I trust God's work in my life, and I believe in the sovereignty of God that healing will come, if not in this life, then in the next, right? Even if healing comes or it doesn't come, I trust in the sovereignty of God. And I continue to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, that Jesus suffered way worse, and that I have the same power in me that raised Jesus from the dead. And finally, I always seek the shalom of God, the peace of God. It is what I desperately want, to know that God is walking with me and to know that peace of God. And like I said, I know many of you guys are going through all these fires, and I'm sad that I can't be with you in person. But that's what the church does. The church comes around to those that are grieving. It comes around to those that are in the fire. And we build each other up. We remind ourselves that God has a plan for all this, that Jesus gives us the power to overcome this, and most importantly, that Jesus is walking with us through these fires. So remember, when the fire comes, I pray that we can all be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who remember the sovereignty of God, that even if they die, that God will be glorified. They remember the sacrifice of God, that we worship a God that really sets the example of how to respond to a fire. And they remember the shalom of God, that the peace of God will be with us even when we walk through the fire, because God is walking with us. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for our fires in our lives. It's a weird prayer to say, but I thank you because you're refining us. You're causing our love to be more genuine towards you. This fire is a gift from you so that we can live the life that we're intended to live. And we say, we know it's hard. We say we don't like it. We acknowledge it makes us angry. It makes us sorrow. It grieves us. But Lord, we're comforted by the fact that your Spirit is with us. We're comforted by the fact that Jesus understands what we went through. And we're comforted by the fact that you're walking with us through your Spirit, and also with the church leaders, and ecclesia leaders, friends, family. They all show us a glimpse of God's love. So I pray for everyone going through their own fires right now. Lord, I pray that you would show yourself in a supernatural way. I pray for the peace of God to show yourself in a supernatural way for all those that are going through a fire right now. And Lord, help us to know that you are with us. And most importantly, help us to glorify you to the world, God, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Lord, so we thank you for your Spirit that is moving, that is walking, that is working. And we pray for this church, Echo Church. We pray for all the saints. Lord, bring your redemptive power to the world in all our fires, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this week. Have a great Monday. I will see you guys next time. Bye, everyone.